Okie dokie, Cameron. Let's go over our itemized checklist.
Okay.
First off, intro.
Check right now.
Awesome. And recent happenings.
Sure.
Content for today.
Ooh, content. You said item. Itemized. Let's talk about items.
Oh, perfect. Check.
Let's do it. And welcome, everyone, to Regional Locked, the very best podcast about video games and Jake.
Oh, thanks, Cameron. It's not entirely about me, though, but yes, welcome, everyone. It's also about you, too.
I'm Cameron.
And I'm Jake.
You're Jake. Jake.
Yes.
Tell me some things. What's up with you?
Well, I just decided to sit down and do this podcast with you, so that's the first thing that's up. Second thing that's up right now is my AC is not blowing because it does create a bit of a buzz effect on the recording, as I noticed. So it's going to be getting really hot because it's been very, very, very hot recently, but that's okay because Japan summers are insane, which I'm going to talk about here in just a second.
Okay.
So, yeah, I guess the hot air is currently what's up. Mm. But I'm ting.
But I'm ting.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us about the weather then.
Cool. I will do just that. Well, I'm in Tokyo, and Tokyo summers are extremely humid. And this is like probably the worst day I've felt of that humidity this year.
Yeah.
And it really does put Indiana to shame, sadly. Whew, I'm starting to feel it right now. I'm okay.
Really?
Though. Yes.
Gross.
Yeah, but you know, it's different here. First off, I'm going to talk a little bit about summers in Japan because they're quite different from back home in a very interesting way. First off, the cicadas are going crazy. They're screaming their heads off.
And oh, that happened. We've barely had any here so far.
Yeah.
As of, oh yeah, we forgot the date. Today is August 1st, 2022.
Yes.
So yeah, I've not really heard cicadas yet.
Okay. They are all crazy here right now, just over the past couple days. And it's been about averaging 90 to 95 Fahrenheit. That's about 30-ish Celsius.
No one is listening who uses Celsius. Get out of here.
Well, to all y'all who are not Americans, that's the thing. Okay. So it's going to be about 100 tomorrow, I think, with the humidity.
That's awful.
Yeah, I know. It's been super, super hot. But our summer break is coming up. So that's why I'm really excited. And our summer break is about 1 week. But that's standard here. Period that we get off is called Obon. And Obon is a traditional holiday in Japan that lasts a few days at least. And it is dedicated traditionally to honoring one's ancestors. Mm. Oftentimes, there'll be like a big memorial thing, festivals, dances, food. And families will visit the cemeteries and clean the headstones of loved ones.
Okay.
And that's traditionally what it's been about. But recently it's been very much a looked forward to period of getting time off. So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm looking forward to the Obon week, which starts in a little over 1 week from now.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Great
and
stuff.
You don't have any ancestors over there to go remember. So you guilt-free get to just enjoy the week.
Yeah, I guess so. No one, I get to go and visit. However, a lot of people are out and a lot of people are socializing right now. And it's really tough to visit downtown Tokyo, as great as it is, because, okay, get this. If you are having a hot day in Japan and you go out in public, a lot of people carry umbrellas.
Oh.
And it's not for the rain. It's to keep the sun off the skin. Because
right.
Yeah, culturally over here, very pale skin is kind of a fad. It's definitely fashionable.
So it's more crowded with umbrellas?
Exactly. It's like trying to navigate during a storm. You don't have the rain, though, but you got umbrellas everywhere. And on top of that, it's very commonplace to have people wear wet towels around their necks. Yeah, which is really interesting. I think that's a uniquely Japanese thing. I haven't seen that a lot back home.
Huh.
And a lot of people carry these little personal fans, like they stick them on their neck and they like stick out one foot, and they look really goofy. The kind of thing that you wouldn't expect back home, but
yeah, we've not been dealing with heat the right way here.
Apparently not, but people buy them and they seem to work. And you do see a lot of people wearing yukatas, which are like traditional outfits, but they're very light, and they look really cool, and they feel really cool too.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's a little glimpse about a typical summer here in Japan.
Well, thank you for sharing.
Yeah. What about you, Cameron? What's been going on in your life?
Going on in my life, been editing and playing games and, you know, all the good stuff. So I wanted to start off with an apology. So here's what I've been doing. I've been doing editing, and I don't know how long ago everyone heard this, but I just edited the Hub Worlds episode. Great episode, but there's two things I wanted to correct. So I'm going to do that now. First off, I think I was too harsh on Ilo Hags from Banjo-Tooie. And our main complaint there was that it's too big. It's too much to deal with. There's not really a theme going on. It's just a big old world. But the more I was thinking about it, the more I really appreciated it as a kid when I first played this, because it really kind of set the stage as like, oh, this is grown-up Banjo-Kazooie. We're getting out into the real world. We're getting away from this kiddie spiral mountain. And it made the stakes seem so much higher. It's like, oh, this was so contained. Banjo-Kazooie was just tutorial for this. Like, if you understand what I'm saying, just the scale was so much bigger and more impressive as you left Spiral Mountain for that. So I do like Ilo Hags. We just wanted to complain about some stuff last week. Or not last week, whenever that was. And then one more Hub World that I can't believe I forgot is the space station from Phantasy Star Online. And I don't think you ever really played this, but for one, it's got great music. And you just go there, like, in between each level. You go with your whole party, because it's a four-player game. You go visit your bank, drop items for each other, go sell stuff, or just play hide-and-seek, which we would do a lot, where one person goes away, and then we all get into, like, a corner and turn our camera in a weird way so you can't tell where we are, and then just mess around in there. I love that space station.
That's kind of cool, actually. I've seen images and videos of that over the years, because I with YouTube and stuff, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Good.
That's awesome, man.
So, yeah, that should have been on the list. Other than that, I've actually been really busy with a game called Two Point Hospital on PC. So I just kind of been in the mood for something chill, something like sim managey type game.
Yeah.
So 2 Point Hospital is actually like a spiritual successor to Theme Hospital.
And okay.
Theme Hospital came out back in 1997. I used to play it at my grandpa's house because he had this just like box of cheap games. And it's kind of like Roller Coaster Tycoon in that you're managing something and hiring staff and people are coming in to get treated as you build out this hospital. And it's really silly. Like, people come in with like bloated head and they have to go get their head like popped like a balloon back to normal size in the original one. And so 2 Point Hospital came out in 2018, and it's very similar where you're just building it out, getting your staff trained up and just trying to make money while accomplishing objectives throughout it. Trying to make sure you're not killing too many people. And people do, they'll just drop dead in the hallway, and sometimes they come back as ghosts, and so you have to make sure you've got a janitor with Ghostbus training. They'll come back, vacuum them up. But I can't believe how much time I've put in this, and I kind of want to go play some right now. It's just so chill. It's got nice music to it, and really surprisingly, like, as you're playing and listening, it's like a radio station, so DJs come on. And I've not heard, like, any repetition from these DJs. Like, they've always got a new joke or something different to say. So I wonder how much dialogue they recorded for that.
Wow.
But it's funny. Like, every time the DJs come on, I'm laughing.
What's this game called?
Two Point Hospital. It's on Game Pass, if you have Game Pass Ultimate. And then I am also excited because this week, weeks ago for listeners, is their next game, Two Point Campus. And so it's similar, but you're running a college campus instead. And that'll also be on Game Pass. So I'm excited to try that out.
That's awesome. This sounds really cool. I've never heard of this before, to be honest. This is my kind of thing.
Here, I'll send you a trailer for it.
Cool. I want to check this out.
Watch it later.
I will do that.
But have you been playing any games worth talking about?
Oh, worth talking about. Not like that. Nothing fancy and new. I have been playing a lot of Caravan Stories.
Still?
Still, that game really gets you. That is like the epitome of a Japanese MMORPG. And like, it is so in-depth. There's so many quest trees and characters that like you can't stop. There's always something new.
Yeah. So
my goal right now is I want to get my party completely maxed out, and that's going to take a lot of grinding, which is what I've been doing.
Yeah.
But as soon as I do that, I'll feel accomplished, because when they put it on PlayStation, they didn't do the achievement or the trophy system very well. Like, I unlocked all the trophies except two, and the only two that I have not unlocked are bronze trophies, and they are nearly impossible to get. Just
what?
Bronzes? Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, bronzes, and one of them is like, do 10,000 battles, and like, no one can do 10,000 battles. That is insane. Just stuff like that, like unnecessarily difficult things, and I don't know why they made them bronze, but anyway. Small complaint to a rather decent game, actually, and they've put some good content on it, and they've kept me invested, so.
Hey, that's all that matters. You've been playing it for a while, so.
Yeah, for sure.
It's worth it.
And I think the big thing with this game is not only have I been playing it for a while, I've been playing it, like, nonstop.
Well, maybe Two Point Hospital will give you a little break.
Maybe. I think I need a new break very soon. New game.
You ready to talk about some items today?
Absolutely. Like we went over in our checklist earlier, let's talk about some items. How about that?
Throughout our years of gaming, we have encountered lots of fun different items and abilities throughout many generations of games, and we wanted to talk about our favorites and why they're so great. So when I say items or abilities, what we're saying is a gameplay mechanic. Either something that you unlock throughout the game, maybe it's something you start out with, but not to confuse it with a collectible, right? So a collectible, it's not really affecting, I mean, it might be the goal of the game, but it's not changing your gameplay. Mm-hmm. So for example, if we're talking about Mario, a power star that you're collecting in Super Mario 64, we would not call that an item. However, a superstar from various other Mario games that makes you fast and invincible, that is an item. So, mm-hmm. I've created a top 10 list. Jake, have you done the same?
I sure have.
Okay. Well, then I think we're just going to go through our list and see how much overlap we have. Give ourselves some point. We haven't done the top 5 game in like a year. So, mm-hmm. Let's see how many points we can get. Where 1 point if we both have it on our list. 3 points if it's in the exact same numbered spot on that list.
Yes.
And then Absolutely. We'll just talk about it and why it's so great.
Sounds great. Before I jump into my list, though, I do want to mention this is a very broad topic. And I spent a lot of time thinking about this. And I guess the definition of item is very open-ended. It can be a lot of different things.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, think about the number of things that you can actually collect and use in a video game. You know, weapons, buffs, just health potions, anything. So this could be very crazy, and our answers could be very far-fetched, but alas, we will see how far we go.
I think mine are pretty grounded as like, okay. Oh yeah, that's one of the main items from that game. But
okay.
I guess we'll see what you said.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. All right, let's go ahead and do this. I'm going to start off with my number 10, mm-hmm. which is the heart container from Super Smash Brothers.
Oh, not from Zelda.
No, but I guess it does technically count because it is from Zelda.
But that's two different abilities there. So why Smash Bros?
Because of how incredibly useful it is. And plus, I already had one from Zelda, so I wanted to diversify my answers a bit. So yeah, Super Smash Brothers, you know, talk about an awesome item that can completely, and I mean completely, heal your character. Mm-hmm. And that's what is so awesome about these. And on top of that, I had a few other weapons and I didn't want them all to be weapons. So that's why I chose Heart Container. Although the Zelda Heart Container does kind of do the same thing, though. It like increases your life, but it does heal you. So
it does heal you. Yeah, you're right.
Similar.
Yeah, I always like the mad dash it causes to get to that Heart Container because everyone wants it, especially those who've got a lot of damage on them.
Yeah.
So that's always a fun little just like tense moment. Same when the Smash Ball shows up. Yeah, everyone just going after that.
That is quite true. All right, what's your number 10?
I do want to first say, dang it, I forgot to put something from Smash Bros. On this list. So let me just quickly add this to my honorable mentions. Home Run Bat.
Oh.
That should have been on my list somewhere, but I forgot.
Okay.
All right.
That's okay.
So my number 10 is the Hidden Blade from Assassin's Creed.
I gotcha. All right.
Hidden Blade's interesting, and especially in the first one, it's like, whoa, they have to cut off their finger to use it? That's pretty messed up.
But
the flick of the wrist, and it goes shooting out in between their fingers for sweet stealth kills, and the sound effects it makes, it's just such a fun mechanic.
I like that. There's a lot of lore and history attached to that, too. So that's a great item. I should have put that on my list.
I just remember, because this was in high school playing this game, so I probably wasn't even 17 yet playing an M-rated game. And mom comes in my room. I go, hey, mom, watch this. And I run up and just like jump up and assassinate a guy in the back. And it's like, isn't that cool? All she says is, you probably shouldn't have shown me that. And then it just walks out. So there was no consequence.
Oh, well, there was a consequence for the dude.
Yeah, that's true.
Hmm.
And then you get the dual blades in two, which is just even cooler. Walk up in Indeed. Between two people and whoosh. It's great.
That's true. That's a mechanic that they didn't carry on to their most recent games. Not effectively, at least.
No, they didn't.
I wish they did, though. Because like those kills were super satisfying in the early Assassin's Creed games. In the more recent ones, it's become a lot different.
Yeah, they're very different. That.
Yeah. All right. That's a great item. I should have put that on my list, but thanks for bringing it up.
Oh, you're welcome.
So my number 9 is the Invincibility Star, and I put Mario because it is so general. This appears on so many Mario games.
What would you say is like the most iconic game that it comes up in?
Okay, so when I was thinking about this, the first couple ones I thought of were Mario Kart, which I guess doesn't really narrow the whole thing down, and Super Mario Land on the Game Boy. And the reason why Super Mario Land is because that's the first time I encountered the star, you know, growing up, and I thought it was so cool. And get this, the music that plays during the Invincibility Star in Super Mario Land is the Can-Can theme.
Does it really?
Yeah. Isn't that cool? I didn't realize that for the longest time. Check it out sometime. It's not the traditional Mario Kart thing. It's the Can-Can thing.
That's weird.
It is, but the item itself is quite amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely coming to mind for Mario Kart. I guess Super Mario 3D World has some levels where like it'll drop you down on like a floating level in the sky. You grab a star and then you just kind of like sprint through it, hitting every enemy and jumping perfectly, which is kind of how it's always been used. So it's kind of always used the same in a Mario game where it's just burning through enemies and like making jumps as you go.
Yeah, it's kind of like a mini buff plus a weapon at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, You become the item.
My number nine here is one that you definitely don't have, but what I think is one of the most iconic and original. Well, I'm going to say, yeah, it's original. It really made this game stand out as it was being hyped. And that is the Lancer from Gears of War. So okay. The Lancer, if you don't know, is kind of like your standard assault rifle, but it's got a chainsaw bayonet. And so you just run around holding B, revving your chainsaw, and whoever runs into you, you just rip through them. Whoa. Cut them into pieces. And it is brutal. And that was part of that game's charm, was how brutal all these kills were. But there was just something so satisfying about catching somebody in that chainsaw, especially if you did it in online multiplayer, because you're pretty loud running around with the chainsaw. It's easy to avoid you. So when you sneak up on someone and pull it off, ugh, it was so great.
That's really awesome. That sounds pretty cool.
Did we play this together, any?
We
co-opted
did.
A bit.
Yeah, we did co-op a bit. I wish I could say that I remembered it.
Oh my gosh.
Probably just not thinking hard enough. But then again, we played a lot of video games growing up, so.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of chainsaws in a lot of games, so. But that sounds really cool.
Name one other.
Dead Rising, the chainsaw. Oh. Fair,
it's a zombie game. Of course there's a chainsaw.
Oh, yeah. And then Resident Evil 4, of course. Got the.
Yeah, but it's not your chainsaw.
No, it's not. It's one that you have to run away from.
Yeah.
All right. So that was number nine, right?
That was.
Okay. So number eight, I'm going to be deviating a little bit from our theme of weapons. The bottle from The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Good to put milk in.
Yes. Good to put milk in and bugs and fish and spring water and potions of various colors and blue fire. And that's what makes it so amazing.
Because... And fairies, like that's the main, you put fairies in your bottles so they revive you.
Exactly. Put fairies in those bottles. This is a mechanic that worked really well in this game. And it kind of gave you the sense of power and almost like character customization of, hey, I can put whatever I want in these bottles. Hey, I think I'm going to need this milk later. Oh, I think I'm going to need this, I don't know, Poe in a bottle, which is a ghost, by the way, if you didn't know. So... I don't know. It just, it's something that always stuck with me, and I really love the mechanic of having bottles in the Zelda games. And until that point, I don't really think there's really another game that does a similar thing. I haven't played it.
That's a good point. Like, you wouldn't think a bottle would be that significant, but with most Zelda games, there's usually four that you can collect. And they're always done in some of the tougher side quests to figure out where these bottles come from.
Yeah.
And yeah, just each one you get really powers you up. I mean, you can fit like a whole health bar in each one.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, it makes each boss fight that much easier.
Yeah.
Or other powers that make you stronger or give you magic or things like that. So it is a great item. You wouldn't think it's that great because it's just a bottle, but. It does a lot for Link.
That's quite true. That is my number eight. What about yours, Cameron? Right.
So my number eight is very iconic, but might be slightly controversial because it's not like an item you unlock or really have to do anything to get. And that is Scorpion's Rope Dart from Mortal Kombat, which brings us to one of the most iconic lines of "Get over here!"
Nice.
I mean, because, you know, Scorpion arguably is the mascot of Mortal Kombat, even though the games make us pretend that the mascot's Liu Kang, but it's not. It's Scorpion. And "Get over here" is just, it's so iconic.
Yeah.
And it can't happen without his rope dart. So that's why it's so great.
That is quite true. Even people who don't play Mortal Kombat like myself, as soon as I hear the name Mortal Kombat, Scorpion's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, you're right, it's iconic. Everyone knows about it. Not everyone, but lot of people do.
Well, now they do.
Yes, especially the person who never saw it coming and got defeated.
All right, that's all I had to say about that one. Fight!
So, number 7 for me. Get ready for this. I'm going to hatch out a good answer here. Eggs from Banjo-Kazooie.
I was thinking about that. So why why on your list?
So Banjo-Kazooie was one of the games that I was like, I have to put this on my list because it's a great game and there's great items and usable stuff in it. So I was thinking through all the different things you can use. And the one thing that just was always most fun for me were those eggs. Like, they're unique, first off. Kazooie shoots them from her beak. Or poops them. Exactly. You can use them several different ways. And then you get to Banjo-Tooie and you got all these different types. You got the grenade eggs, the ice eggs, the fire eggs.
Yeah.
Just like, it's just such an original and useful concept in the game. Hey, let's throw eggs or let's fire eggs at our enemies. It just, it's so uniquely Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
So, great
idea. Yeah, I was definitely thinking about that for the same reason, where it's like, I have to put something from Banjo-Kazooie. And specifically the ones from Tooie with the different types of eggs. And even you can like shoot down that little remote control bomb egg that you get to steer around. But ultimately, I did not put it on my list.
Ah, I gotcha. That's okay.
Because there really isn't a ton. Well, I guess you're constantly learning new moves in the Banjo games.
Uh-huh.
But they're not all super useful. I feel like that game kind of handicaps you at first by getting rid of basic platforming moves just so you can learn them later.
Ah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
But yeah, that one is tough because there is a lot of stuff there. I also really like in Banjo-Tooie parts where you have to split up and get to play as each of them uniquely.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, that sucks because it gets rid of like basic platforming skills. Like once you switch to just Banjo, you can pretty much only jump. And then you have to go learn like how to basic attack, how to double jump. And it's like, okay, this is just tedious.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, like, what can he do except sleep in his backpack and just go and swing it around?
Well, I think you have to learn that still.
Yeah, you do. Banjo's not very fast. He was never one that I'd like to play with. Unless he had Kazooie, of course.
Of course. Yeah. All right, anyway. So my number 7, I went real broad here and wanted to focus on one of our favorite games of all time, and that is Bioshock. And I'm just talking plasmids. Plasmids in general, specifically because the lore is so interesting of just, you know, what is plasmids? What is Adam? What is causing this to happen when you actually dive into the game and understand that? But also just having powers that you shoot out of your hand is really fun, and focusing on upgrading the ones that are most fun to you, like doing lightning, shooting people in water, fire, ice, bees. Not the bees!
Not the bees.
What is that? What is that? What is it? Oh, no, not the bees! Not the bees! Ah! I'm losing my eyes! My eyes! Ah! Ah!
I would agree with that. Bioshock went through my head and I didn't even consider using the plasmids as one of my answers, but that just further proves our point of how incredibly open-ended and diverse the concept of an item is.
Yes.
But yeah, oh my gosh, that's the game. That's the staple for all of them. You got the plasmids in 1 and 2 and you got the vigors in
right.
Which it's the same thing, just different dimension.
Yeah.
Yeah, same kind of thing. But okay, number 6 I have from Resident Evil 4, the Chicago typewriter.
Ooh. I did really consider that one.
The Thompson submachine gun. This is a great one. It's got unlimited ammo.
Yes.
And it basically makes you the most OP player in the entire game, and it makes the rest of the game completely easy no matter what you do, no matter what difficulty you play as. This is like the most overpowered gun ever.
Yeah, it could be. Because it's like each shot. Isn't each shot like a 10 on the damage scale?
Yep. Each shot is a 10, and that's like a nice shotgun.
Yeah.
And it's fully automatic, and it never runs out of ammo.
And you don't even have to reload, so it just sprays the entire time.
Exactly. The only reason you want to reload is just to make it look cool for that satisfying feeling of immersion. And when you wear the gangster outfits, Leon just kind of like goes, huh, and adjusts his hat. And sometimes he throws it in the air and catches it, you know?
Gives you a little cutscene.
Oh, yeah. So the Chicago typewriter, let's be honest, this is a great gun.
Yeah, that is really good. I mean, its competition is like the unlimited rocket launcher, which is also really powerful, but...
Yes, that's true.
That's got reloads, long reloads on it. Can't have that.
That is quite true. And plus, there's just no satisfying, fully automatic feeling of spraying things.
Actually, now I can't remember. Do you have to reload the rocket launcher? Or is it just got a delay between shots?
I think it's just got a delay between the shots.
Okay.
All the guns in that game that have unlimited ammo, you don't have to reload them. It just looks cool.
Good choice.
Cool stuff. Yeah, thanks. What about yours?
Number six, we're going back to Super Mario 64. We've got three different caps that can be acquired in that game, and my favorite is the metal cap. Because, for one, the music rocks while you listen to that. And there's just something about the N64 graphics that I just thought this looked so cool. You're all shiny and chrome, and your footsteps are all heavy, and you can sink down through the water or move through gas without dying.
Yeah.
I just thought this was the most awesome power-up in a game at the time. And actually, no, I still do. It's such a fun item.
It really is. Mario looks so cool. And that music, it does rock, literally.
Yeah, and it's actually, I didn't really realize that. It's just the Superstar music, but played, like, differently.
Really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, different instrumentation and drums.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, all right.
Think about them. Listen to them in your head. They're both the same.
I'll have to do that now. oh my gosh, Mario lore probably has so many little things like that, like slightly altered musical things or blips that come from different games or whatnot. But
yeah, well, actually, I guess it's still the Superstar music for the Wing Cap and Invisible Cap.
Yeah, it is
that same music.
Yep.
There is our bottom five.
Yes.
No overlap so far.
So
very surprising.
I kind of do have an overlap with that one, but I put down Mario's caps.
Oh, okay. So we got a little overlap. We'll say we got 1 point for that.
Okay, cool beans.
Since we're right here in the middle of the list, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back to finish it off.
Cool beans.
And we're back from that little break. So, Jake, why don't you just continue us off with your number five?
I will absolutely do that, Cameron. My number five is a little bit different from what we've been talking earlier. This comes from a very classic arcade game called Pac-Man, the Power Pellet.
The Power Pellet. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Talk about a very simple concept. There's no explanation in this game of what you're supposed to do, but everyone knows what it does.
Yeah.
This makes you completely invincible and everything run away from you for however long it's going to be activated. But the Power Pellet, it's a great one. And I thought I'd add it because...
Because who doesn't love eating ghosts?
It's true. Who doesn't love eating ghosts and having their eyes fly around back to the base and then come right back out alive again?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It very much is. But that's my number five. I don't have anything else to say about it. It's an awesome item.
Not much to say. All right. So, for my number five, I was still thinking about Mario, specifically Super Mario Sunshine. Flood is pretty awesome, and Flood gives you a lot of abilities that Mario has never had before when it comes to his platforming and cleaning abilities. But specifically, I would have to choose the turbo nozzle that you can add to Flood, which basically attaches a booster on your back. And you just can sprint through the levels. You can, like, jet ski through the water. This was always the most satisfying for me, just to get this and just kind of blast around Isle Delfino. And sometimes you can fly through some doors where there's some extra challenges you can do. Really, yeah. I enjoy zooming around.
That's a really good one right there. It's super fun. I know exactly what you're talking about. Gets you anywhere really fast, for sure.
And yeah, you can, like, the jetpack, that's super great for hovering around. And the rocket launcher that, you know, sends you flying up into the air, it's all right. But
yeah,
just none of them are as just pure fun as the turbo.
That is true. And there is a very satisfying bonus level that involves that, just you zooming down one basically beeline towards the end, and you're flying really high, and that's a really fun
platforming
one. Yeah, cool. All right, I would agree with you. Good choice. Now, my number four, we've got the blue shell from Mario Kart.
That's a favorite?
Yeah, that's a favorite. When you have it, when it's against you, it is, it's the very worst thing in the entire world, and it just makes you completely angry and full of rage when you get hit by it. But let's be honest, when you're in eighth place and you've got no hope, the blue shell is what gives you hope. And, like, good
know.
Hope, too.
I don't know. I might disagree, because when you're so far back, the blue shell really only helps the people in second and third. It's not going to help you in the back. You need the other stuff.
That's true. Then it depends on which Mario Kart that you're playing. I guess on the later ones, it's a very destructive shell. But on the N64, I believe the blue shell will pretty much hit everything up to the very end. So every player in between.
If you're in its line of sight, or like its line of travel, yes, it will hit you. But it doesn't target anyone else.
Well, the blue shell.
Yeah, it still can't hit other people.
Yes.
Yeah, it is definitely iconic, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. The one thing everyone's scared of, the blue shell.
Nice.
What about you?
So my number four is not an item, but an ability. And that is the blink from Dishonored. And I guess it's in Deathloop as well.
Okay.
But blink is a very fun way to be stealthy. The way it works is it's basically just a teleport, where as you hold down the left trigger, it'll show you a little target, and that's where you're going to zoom to. Mm-hmm. And so then you just whoosh, zoom to that spot, and it's great for sneaking up on people or getting out of their line of sight real quick. And doing great platforming to sneak around the level in different ways. And that's probably my favorite part about Dishonored, is just how you can navigate the level so differently every time you play. And Blink really allows you to do that well, to get around. And really, even though in the Dishonored games you have quite a few different powers, I only ever have Blink equipped. It's like the only thing I use, just because I like to navigate that way. And it's super useful in all situations.
Yeah, I remember you using this, to be honest, and you used it quite well and quite frequently. Yep. And I remember trying to use it and not being very successful, but then when you had the controller, you'd be just like going choo, 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 like a master.
That was so cliche of like kids playing games where it's like, Aaron, let me do it. I don't know when this was. In the 360 era, I guess.
Yes.
But we went to Game Exchange and I was like, hey, you need to get Dishonored. So he buys Dishonored and we take it back to his house. And I've already played it multiple times at this point. I know these levels inside and out.
Yeah.
But he's just learning it for the first time. And I was just a jerk. And watching him do this so terribly, not navigating well, not using his powers well, I was like, here, just let me do it. You want to watch me do this level so you understand it a little better? And then I played it for like 2 hours with just Jake watching. And then he never played it again after that. I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't remember playing it since. But alas, still, that was a very common trope when we were kids. Like, oh, you can't do this? Let me do it. I want to do it.
Yeah, except we were like 20.
You're right. I mean, let's be honest. We're here talking about video games on our favorite podcast. We never grew up. But anyway, the politics of trading off the controller. Okay.
Number three. Right,
number three. Here we go. A great item for many different reasons, because it helps you get to the end. The companion cube from Portal.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, this is a great one. Not only because of the jokes and the memes and the lore behind it, but because you can use it to actually solve the levels, and sometimes it's quite necessary. Mm-hmm. Putting it on buttons, treating it like it's precious to you, as GLaDOS tries to convince you that it is. Yeah, the companion cube. A metal cube with a heart on it.
It is. It's very cute. I'm pretty sure that Valve has said, like, they did not mean for the companion cube to be iconic. It's just like the memes and the community went crazy for this game, and yes, everyone just became so attached to the companion cube, even though it's only in one level and it only exists. Like, the main purpose of the companion cube is to teach you the mechanics of the final boss, mm-hmm, which is throwing things into the furnace.
Yes.
And I don't know why. It's, I guess, because it's so funny and so sad at the same time.
Well, you know what? It did exactly what GLaDOS intended it to do.
Yeah.
We all became attached to it. So throwing it in the incinerator was so tough.
It was. It definitely was. I was really conflicted about putting something from Portal on here, either that or just the Portal gun itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I ultimately didn't. And I might get to that later, why I didn't. But Portal gun, definitely an honorable mention.
Mm. Yeah, for sure.
You did it. The weighted companion cube certainly brought you good luck. However, it cannot accompany you for the rest of the test and, unfortunately, must be euthanized. Please escort your companion cube to the Aperture Science Emergency Intelligence Incinerator. You euthanized your faithful companion cube more quickly than any test subject on record. Congratulations.
My number three, this was tough because the Zelda games are nothing but items, right? It's mm-hmm. just acquiring different items to beat bosses and solve puzzles. We could have done a whole list of just Zelda items,
mm-hmm.
but I only wanted one. And I think the most mechanically fun item, especially in the Spirit Temple and in Wind Waker, is the Mirror Shield.
Okay.
The Mirror Shield really adds this extra gameplay mechanic of, instead of equipping an item, just pulling your shield out and then, you know, redirecting light to solve these puzzles.
Yeah.
And I always really enjoyed that. And it's always a cool look to it as well. And then the Twin Rova boss fight is one of my favorites in that game, of just trying to redirect the elements at their opposing witch.
Yeah.
And it's tough because there's a lot of great items. You know, a lot of people say hookshot because mm-hmm. it's fun to Spider-Man around.
Yeah.
But no, I think the Mirror Shield is my favorite from the Zeldas.
I would completely agree. The Mirror Shield is so great. When you start reflecting light to solve puzzles, that kind of adds an element of abstract thinking that really makes the end result feel satisfying.
Yeah.
Especially during that boss fight, which is extremely exciting because you've got that power, you know, you collect mm-hmm. that energy, redirect it, and it's really cool. And they don't even explain it in any kind of words. You just kind of have to, you know which one to deflect where and that right. kind of thing. So yeah, the Mirror Shield, it's gone through a lot of iterations too, hasn't it? A lot of different looks.
Yeah. Yeah, it has.
Mm.
But still always one. Great.
For sure. I would definitely reflect everything that you just said. Ha ha ha.
Well said. All right, okay. We're almost done.
That's true.
Number two.
That's true for number two. My number two is the Skyhook from Bioshock 3.
Ah, that didn't even cross my mind.
Yeah, this is such a cool thing. And you use it throughout the whole game for so many different reasons. You know, transportation, which is extremely fun. Sliding on wires, mm-hmm. you're essentially a very fast, agile cable car.
Yeah.
And it's a weapon too, and it's many different things, and it's just unique. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, it's cool.
It really is.
Like this arm thing that you can use to get places, jump places, and you just got all this power, and it's super satisfying, to be honest.
Yeah, both to swing around and the melee kills with it are pretty brutal.
Yes, they are. Very brutal indeed. Of all the weapons and all the games that I had to think about for a while, that one stood out the most as definitely the most unique.
Yeah. I know some people had issue with that, where they didn't like how big all the fight boxes had to be because mm-hmm. of that, because a lot of rooms they then filled with these rails that you could swing around on while you fight, mm-hmm. and felt that that got a little too away from the claustrophobia of the original Bioshocks, but it doesn't have to be the original Bioshocks. I think it still works.
Yeah, right? Like, you're in the sky. It's not supposed to be claustrophobic.
Exactly.
Completely flipped on its head kind of thing. It's supposed to be.
Yep.
But
cool.
Yeah.
My number two here, man, these were hard to put in order.
Yeah.
For one thing. So I guess I'm just, these are the most iconic ones here, are my last ones. So number two, in Halo 1, Halo being an incredible game and full of iconic moments and really, you know, selling the Xbox for how much fun it was.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you would fight elites with this glowing blue sword. You'd kill them, but you couldn't pick that sword up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so awesome. They were one-shotting you with this sword, and just you felt so disappointed. It's like, I want that. But mm-hmm. in Halo 2, they answered our prayers and made the energy sword a usable weapon. The sword is so much fun to play. From the moment you pick it up and it goes whoosh, as you, you know, you fling that out.
Yeah.
The way you can lock on and charge at people and one-shot pretty much everything. Definitely everyone in multiplayer can be one-shotted. Maybe there might be some brutes in the campaign that take two hits. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of fun that came with that. And again, I think this just, it just proves how good of Halo 2 was. Because it took so many things that could not be done in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, gifted us with those moments in this one. You know, just from the hijacking, the dual wielding, then this, being able to use the energy sword. It's just a great example of a perfect sequel. Where yeah. it just built so well on Halo 1. And that sword has become incredibly iconic because of it.
Yes, it has. And I almost put it on my list.
Darn.
Almost. Yes, that shall go as one of the honorable mentions for me. Because, like you just said, this is a hard list to compile.
Yeah.
But that is such a good weapon. Oh my gosh. Like, let's be honest. Anytime it's dropped, no matter what you're doing, you just drop what you're doing and you go get it.
Yeah. Yeah, they've added a few more, like, one-shotters into the games since then, mm-hmm. like the Gravity Hammer.
Yeah.
But still, this is better because it's quicker, true. For one.
Yep. And the Gravity Hammer is not as powerful, I think.
It is if you make direct contact. And they made it, the Gravity Hammer is like super strong and infinite,
mm-hmm.
where you can get an easy triple if people are all pretty close together, but it has like a really slow wind up.
Okay.
While the energy sword is still much quicker to hit with.
Mm. All right. Cool beans.
All right. Number one.
My number one is probably the only one that we have tied with, and that will be Mario's cap. And I just added that as a general item, even though it's multiple ones.
So specifically from 64?
Yes, specifically from 64, because you can lose it and you have to find it again. So it's technically an item, and you can also get cool different ones.
Mm-hmm. I always hated losing it. Because it was kind of hard to get back. Like if the monkey yeah. took it or uh-huh. the snowman
yep.
and you looked so dumb without it.
Yep. It's so true. And it doesn't really tell you how to find it if you do lose it.
Yeah, that's true.
When I was younger, I freaked out once because I lost the hat and I was like, I didn't know what to do. And at some point it was one of my siblings or one of my parents said they were playing it and they were like, hey, I saw the hat. Like, it's like, I don't remember what happened, but my family had to go and look for it. We were all looking for it.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really tell you that it's going to still be in the game, but just an enemy has it.
Exactly. So,
and can't the vulture take it too?
Yep. And it's on the vulture. And It's on the vulture. You have to like punch it or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's in whatever level that you lost it in, but
yeah,
you just have to find it. So without the world of the internet and game guides, you don't know what to do when you lose your hat. You don't know how to find it.
No. Much like real life.
It's very true.
Ooh, I got a free hat in Scotland. No, I'm in Ireland. I forgot to tell you about.
Yeah.
So the big college in Dublin is Trinity College, mm-hmm. which we've talked about that before because the Book of Kell is what the Jedi Archives is based off of.
Ah.
But anyway, we were at the Cliffs of Moher, which is, again, that's where that Harry Potter scene takes place, where they go to get the locket. Mm-hmm. Well, around the top, it's very windy, and they've got this stone fence going all around the perimeter, and it says, "Do not climb this fence, you idiot. Do not do it." And someone, it was so windy, their hat must have got blown off over that fence. Mm-hmm. But I had my GoPro on a long selfie stick. It's like, yeah. Oh, there's a hat there. And so I just reached over with my selfie stick and pulled it back. It's like, hey, free souvenir. And it's a nice hat. It was probably a little pricey.
Wow. So that's awesome.
That person lost their hat, much like Mario, and I took it.
Yes. At least it went to a good home.
Yes, where I will not wear it because I don't like wearing hats. But got one now.
Awesome, man.
All right. Let's move on to my number one. Again, so iconic, so much absolute fun. That is the gravity gun from Half-Life 2.
Ooh.
If you have not played Half-Life 2, what are you doing with your life? Because you need to play this game. This game was renowned for its physics engine and how you can pick things up and throw them and how they bounce off each other and how just this whole world works. So you get the gravity gun in this junkyard when you meet Dog, the giant robot, and you can pick stuff up, and you can pick up lots of big things and chuck it, and Dog goes and fetches it for you. And then shortly after that, you get thrown into Ravenholm, which is the zombie level of Headcrabs. And it's this rundown little town, and there's tons of like saw blades laying around. And so you can pick up these saw blades with the gravity gun and launch them and chop these zombies in half. And then continue to just kind of play through the game like that, where you're finding, oh, what can I pick up? What can I throw? Oh, an enemy just threw a grenade at me. Pick that up with the gravity gun. Chuck it right back at him. It just made the world into such a fun playground of figuring out what you could interact with. And then on top of that, at the very end of the game, it gets supercharged to where you can start picking up enemies and just launching enemies, and you feel so powerful, and it is just so much fun. And that is why, or a major reason, that Half-Life 2 is still so beloved, because playing with this gravity gun is so much fun.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Well, I'm one of the losers who has not played Half-Life 2.
Oh my gosh.
Sadly. But I did get to play around with the guns using the commands in Portal.
What are you talking actually, about?
Yeah, if you have it on PC, you can go into the commands and get all the Half-Life guns, or the Half-Life 2 guns.
Oh, I didn't know that.
In the game. So, granted, they're not the game of Portal is not designed to be interacted with in such a way. Like, the only thing you can really do is use the momentum of the guns to knock over turrets. But like, hey, that seems pretty cool. If only I could play it in the actual game. So that's awesome, man. Good choice.
Well, yeah, thank you. There we go. There was our 20 different items with almost no overlap, which was very surprising. Did you have any honorable mentions you wanted to give out?
I guess the only other honorable mentions I might want to give out are the Fire Flower from the Mario games.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I can't believe I put this down, the arrow from Adventure, the 1980 Atari game. Because it's the only weapon that you get, and you have to use it just right, but so simple yet so effective.
I would honorably mention the Animal Crossing fishing rod, because fishing is my favorite thing to do in that game. Cool. The Dagger of Time from Prince of Persia. Because not only is it a weapon to fight with, the Dagger of Time gives you the power to rewind time, which is the game's main mechanic, and is very fun. And lastly, I would say the Call of Duty Zombies Ray Gun, which was like the first OP gun that you could unlock in those games. I know later they started adding a bunch of crazy guns into it, but the Ray Gun was such a cool surprise and very overpowered.
Yeah, it is. If you know how to use it, it is super effective. We could be talking all night about different great items from different games because there are so many. Alas.
So, Regionaires, what do you think? Do you approve of this list? What would you put on this list? You should email us at regionunlockedpodcast@gmail.com or on Instagram or on Twitter. You can find us in those places and we will sometimes respond and stuff.
Yes.
Actually, we most likely will because we don't get that much contact. So that's how it goes.
Yeah. Send us an awesome comment or question and we might give you a shout out.
Here's a shout out to Asher. Asher has emailed us a couple times about different things. So, hey, Asher, what's up? Sorry that you're hearing this so late, but it's because we record these at very random intervals. So, Jake, I think that does it for today's wonderful itemized chat.
Cool.
Let's get on out of here. Regionaires, thank you for listening. My name's Cameron.
And I'm Jake.
And may your week be filled with wonderful items.
皆さん、さよなら。